I count it a privilege to know Elder Troutner and the blessed gospel minister that he is, that I never would have thought that I would have been able to count him as a father in the ministry to me. But he is still here, and I get to be a part of his life, and I'm so grateful for that and for the blessing that he is to my ministry now, and that it's evidence and proof that the Lord sees our needs and he fulfills them. And he knows the need that I've had to have Elder Troutner in my life. And I thank God for him and for his dear, sweet family and what they are to me, to my family, and the church. If you don't know him, please get to know him and just cherish every moment you can with our dear brother. We're so thankful for him. And so Lexington Church is immensely blessed, and I'm immensely blessed also to be among them and to also be here with you all and among such faithful people of God, and the Meeks family as well, and their love that they extend, and I'm just so grateful to know them. Brother Nathan here, the pastor that you all have, is a dear friend of mine, and I know is a hard worker. It's been evident, I think, throughout his life that he's just been a very studious man, a man who put forth the effort to see that the Lord will not have placed a burden or a calling on his life in vain. And that's a wonderful thing. So that he'll actually be a person who brings forth fruit in his ministry, not because of him, not in and of himself, but because the Lord gives the increase. But he does that to a people who plant and who water. And so we must remember that. I think that's what our dear brother here is watering here. And continue faithful in it, Brother Nathan. I know the Lord will bring forth fruit in that. And I want to talk with you this afternoon, and y'all pray for me, out of Matthew chapter 7, and talk about some things that we see here that are worth highlighting, worth acknowledging concerning this passage of Scripture, which is kind of the last of the Sermon on the Mount. And as we see it, we see what the world has kind of taken hold of, and those who perhaps are in Christianity but have a different interpretation of the Scriptures, and erroneous, I believe, interpretations of the Scripture, and what they have done with these passages that are very precious to us. And what we can also see that the devil, whenever he gets a part of a hold of a Scripture and twists it and then tries to propagate that, which is error, we'll see how we, as God's people, will miss out on the blessing of it. Because what he has done has made God's people think something differently and what God had intended for that that particular passage to mean and be interpreted. And so we want to start here in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7. And we'll just read here. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." What we're going to see here is a few passages of temporal salvation. We're going to see where it is that the Lord, who will bless his people who are faithful in asking, seeking, and knocking. That if we will be a people who, when we recognize this and see that there is some kind of interesting thing to be taken note of, which calls us out of a tumultuous world, a loud, roaring world. I don't know about you, but I have a problem hearing. And that problem of hearing is that whenever there's a lot of loud things going on, I can't hear one whispering to me.
Right.
Everybody got that problem? I assume you've all got the same problem. When you're in the midst of something very loud, you can't seem to hear somebody who's whispering. Well, it is that the Lord speaks to us sometimes in a still, small voice. And what he's doing is calling us and telling us, come out from that loudness. Come out from the world itself and hear what I've got to say. What we have failed to do, I think, in a great way, is to train up our children in a way that they might ask and seek and knock. What we're so very good to doing, especially in our in this era in which we live, this time in modern day that we live in, we're so used to feeding the answers to our children and never training them how to ask.
Right.
Never training them how to seek and to knock. And the Lord's saying here, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to raise up, train up rather, lazy children who never know how to ask the right questions.
Amen.
What we need to do is open the scripture with them and then read and see what answers, or rather what questions will be formulated by these young ones, because they're going to have some questions. Just a few minutes ago, my oldest back there, who's only 3 years old, be four in July, just asked me, Daddy, does Jesus live in a castle in heaven? And I thought, well, I'm glad you're asking the question, and I'm so thankful to know he's thinking about Jesus. He's thinking about heaven. And I said, well, the Lord tells us in my Father's house are many mansions. And what I know a mansion is, it's a really, really big, big house. So I don't know if the Lord Jesus lives in a castle, but I know he says there are mansions in glory. And I'll tell him this, son, we'll see it one day. And that's the glorious part about it all, is that whatever it is, I know it'll be good and right and perfect.
Amen.
So the children are learning. The children are asking, I hope, or at least seeking in some way. Let us continue to encourage them to ask and to seek and to knock are the things of God. Because here's also the blessed part of it, is he has promised that he will give them an answer. He has promised that if they seek, that they will find. That we all, if we seek, we shall find. If we knock, the door shall be open unto us. We have many questions about this life and about this world that really the world itself might have a lot of answers to, but those answers tend to be very wrong and misleading. The Lord says, I've got the right answer. Just because some folks are saying something, a lot of folks are flocking that way, does not mean that that's the correct way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, the ends thereof are the ways of death.
Amen.
And so we're going to get to that here in just a minute as well, because I think Jesus also touches on that subject again. So he says in verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, now listen here, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now we're all by nature, I believe, bearing that sinful flesh, are an evil people by nature. Okay? But then he says here, know how to give your children good gifts. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Now, I think he's also addressing not just people who have a sinful nature, but people who also have a Father in heaven.
Amen.
I think he's talking to the children of God. Now, I know that there's this general idea that Christianity likes to put forth that every human being is a child of God. But the Bible never refers to all of humanity as being children of God.
Amen.
So I want to understand that in the way that Christ teaches that and the way he also puts that forth, is that we see that the children of God are always known as being the elect family of God. That is, those who are chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before God in love through Christ Jesus and by his amazing grace. We know that is who he is talking about here, that the Father in heaven, their Father in heaven, will give good things to them that ask him. Okay, so verse 12, we see the audience now. We know that he's talking to children of God. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, he gets into this next portion. It's just where I really wanted to get to. Here we go. In verse 13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, notice that says S-T-R-A-I-T. He's not talking about straight in terms of that it's not crooked. He's talking about straight as in being difficult.
Right.
It's a difficult thing. It's a restricting thing. It's going to be a tight fit here. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Do you want to know how the rest of Christianity wants to take these verses and turn them into something? You know what they end up making these verses to be? They make them to be verses unto eternal life or unto hell. And that's not what Christ is teaching here. Because after all, he's talking to the children of the Father.
Right.
He's talking to a people who are already chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before the Father in love. And he knows exactly who they are, and no man's able to pluck them out of the Father's hands. Neither are they able to pluck them out of Jesus' hands. Okay, so he knows the audience here. Who he's talking to are a people who are already saved. But He's saying that you're still going to need here in this life some temporal deliverances.
That's right.
And he's telling them the best way for them to walk in this world is not in the way in which the rest of the world may seem like walking.
Right.
The rest of the world may look at saying, you know, this is a pleasurable way. It's a fun way because many there be that go in thereat. He's saying that that road is broad. It is wide. There's room for everyone. And there's not only room for everyone, but there's room for all your stuff. And you can take as much stuff with you as you want to take. You can take that wide load trailer, slap the sign on the back that says caution wide load, and carry all that you want to with you down that broad road. But he says that end of that leads to destruction. He says it leads to destruction. And then the world will prove it to you time and time and time again. Whether it's self-destruction or whether it's destruction by others, you'll see that there will be ways of destruction down this road. So the Lord's not holding anything back. He's being quite honest with us here. He said, you can go that way. Children of God, a lot of times, go that way.
Right.
And he's telling them here that what's going to happen, I'm going to warn you about it. There is destruction in that way. So when Brother Adam gets up and tells us that we need to be a people set apart, and that he's warning us about the dangers of filling your heart and your mind with the pollution of the world, he's saying you can go that way, but listen, be warned that it's a destructive thing that you're heading toward. The Bible tells us to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. To keep our heart, that means that we need to be proactive in how we defend against guarding, defend our hearts. He says, for out of it comes forth that which we truly believe, that which we truly hold. It's made evident by our actions. It's made evident by our words. It's made evident by so much of what we do and say. And what you can be sure that if you want to know what someone believes, just spend about a day with them, and something will come out that you'll find out where they stand in this life, where it is that they stand on the issues of life. Because it will proceed out of the heart. You'll know what they've been listening to. You'll know what they've been singing along with. You'll know what they've been watching. Just give it long enough, and you'll find that out of the heart come the issues of life. It flows from within them. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, he once again, telling us honestly here, as Christ always would do, not holding back anything. He's telling us here this way of discipleship. That's what this is. He's saying this narrow way, this straight gate, he says this road to discipleship. And you know, I never heard enough about discipleship growing up. Once you come to the realization of what discipleship is, my friends, you'll find that it really is how it is that our relationship with Christ actually flourishes in this life.
Right.
Now, discipleship means you've already got a relationship. But not everyone who's got a relationship with Christ necessarily are disciples.
Right.
Now, I'm related, and that's what relationship, that's the root word, right? Relate, I'm related to my father and my mother by birth. Now, if I want to have good fellowship with them, then I will be in good terms with them by obeying them and so on. That's how my fellowship with my mother and father has been blessed through the years and how it kind of still continues to be. I want to honor them because of the relationship that we have. They are my father and my mother. And even if I had no fellowship with them at all, that relationship would still be there. They would always be my father and mother. That's the same way it is with our relationship with God. The rest of the Christianity wants to tell you that you need to seek a relationship with Jesus. But what in reality, I think what they mean is that you need to seek fellowship and discipleship with Him.
Yeah.
Because it is that no man has ever chosen who his father is.
Right.
Nobody's ever done that. No person has ever chosen their father. But rather now he's telling us this is the way of discipleship. You want to follow me because it is that I'm your father, because it is that I'm your elder brother, because it is that I am your Savior. Follow me. But understand, entering into it, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. Understand, the reality is that it's not always easy.
That's right.
And it's true. Buddy, I found that out. It's not always the easiest thing to follow the Lord. It's not always the way in which everyone's going. In fact, it says, few there be that find this way. Few there be that find this way. What I come to find out then is that the few that I do have on this path along with me, I hope that I'm traveling that way, the few that there are, oh my, are blessed friends of God.
Amen.
The few that we find along the path, cherish them. Because it is that we are strongly united together by something that the rest of this world would just fall apart at.
Amen.
Because we are strongly united as a people and in a fellowship that is far greater than any type of other worldly fellowship this world would ever offer to you.
Amen.
That's why it was whenever the apostles were being persecuted, they not only when the persecution was over, they rejoiced in it, and I believe that their bands were even stronger after that persecution. In fact, where it was after the first century church, after that first century was over, that we see how the growth of the church, it just began to expand and go into different parts of all the world. Why? Because it was that Rome and all the areas surrounding it were persecuting God's people in the harshest of ways, yet it never caused a decrease in the church, but it always seemed to create more and more disciples and followers of God.
Amen.
Because they understood something. That men and women don't die for something that they know to be a lie. That they were convinced in their hearts that what was true to them by the preached word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they understood that to be true because it resonated with the faith, which was the evidence of things not seen. That is to say, it was proving something that they knew was evident within them, that the Holy Spirit had placed within them. You cannot see that and understand that men and women were dying for something that they believed to be a lie. They believed it to be the truth and were convinced of such by the power of the Holy Ghost. What that caused was a great fellowship. And so what we see is that we will experience hardships along this way. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials, as James says over there, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's why he says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Because he's working a work, right? He's doing something. He's performing something. He's causing his people to be stronger and held together so that we won't just give up on one another. That's what the world does. I mean, I could tell you about one of my cousins who has gone to be with the Lord, but he suffered many things in this world because of his own decisions and because of the evil influences of others and Satan. He got caught up in drugs, and he thought that the people that were giving him the drugs were his friends. But you better believe that the day that he overdosed and was found, there was no one around.
Right.
He was lost. He was there, and his parents couldn't find his body for several days. Where were his friends? Oh, that broad way, it leads to destruction. There may be many that find it, but they're not there together for the sake of each other. They're there for the sake of themselves.
Right.
They're there for selfish, self-motivated reasons. But we who are here together, I tell you, I love each and every one of you. I may not know every one of you personally, but I love you because of Christ. I love you for the sake of the fellowship, and I want this church to continue on, and every church that's represented here, I trust and I pray that the Lord Himself will cause to stand and will cause to flourish as well. But I'm thankful for the friends we've got here together, because I know that there are many here who do hold each other near. And we're together, maybe few of us, but we're together through thick and thin, I hope, because of the sake of Christ. That's worth everything. That's worth dying for. It really is. I love what Brother Paul always said. The Word of God is not only good to live by, but it's also good to die by. Well, my friends, you're not only good to live with, but you're also good to die with, if that be the case. God's people. Because I think about the friendships. I think about Brother Joe. It's been a while since we've been around one another, but I'll never forget the fellowship that he and Brother Ben Winslet had in a hotel room a few years back down in Montgomery, Alabama. That meant so much to me. But I know Brother Ralph and Brother Ronald, y'all have such a friendship. Brother Ralph's talked so much about you in so many wonderful and godly ways, Brother Ronald, and the friendship you have. You wouldn't have that friendship if it were not for this narrow way that we're all walking together on.
Amen.
And it really is friendships that will last no matter where you are, no matter where you go. God's people are along the way. And it's so precious. It's the most precious thing I've ever come around. Whew. Okay. Enter ye in at the straight gate. It says it's difficult. All right. So John chapter 6. There's a place there that the Lord had just finished up talking with some unbelievers in the presence of his disciples. Now, at this point, there in John chapter 6, the Lord had many disciples that were following with him. But let's go there just real quick just to see so I don't misquote. I want to get this portion because I believe it's important. And I know you all have been a patient people this afternoon. Here it says starting in verse 60. Yeah, John 6, 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" What is he talking about? The context is that Christ was saying that he was the bread of life, that manna that came down from heaven when it was back in Moses and the Israelites' days as they were wandering in the wilderness, that was a representation of Christ, who is that bread from heaven, who is the living bread, who is Christ, who is that he says unto them that whoever partakes of his flesh, drinks of his blood, has life, has everlasting life. Now, we know that if that's required of us, that it is that Christ has fulfilled that. Can we all agree with that? Okay, so if that is required, then it is that Christ has fulfilled that. So we have partaken of his flesh and had of his blood. He has made us partakers of that by his mercy and grace. Now, he said, they honestly say to him, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear?" What they mean is this is a difficult saying. This is not only that, this is an offensive thing that we're hearing from you. Now that kind of puts it in a different light, doesn't it? Christ was offending people? Well, yes. He would say some offensive things, but there were things that were needed to be said. Every now and then, you might have some offenses that are coming from a pulpit. And I hope that if the Lord is blessing the preacher, that it's something then that you needed to hear, no matter how offensive it may be. Don't blame the preacher. He's just the messenger. It is perhaps that the Lord would have you to hear it as long as he's preaching from the gospel, as long as he's preaching from God's word. So, when they heard this, they said, "Who can hear it? This is a hard saying. This is an offensive saying." When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that should believe not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." It's a blessing to know that if we are in fact able to walk this pathway of discipleship, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how few there may be upon it, that it still is that the reason why we're even able to walk it is because we've already been drawn by the Father to Christ. So we're already his. Now, verse 66, it says, "From that time..." After these offensive words were said, from that time, many of his disciples, not just listeners, not just people who were standing by just wondering if they were going to be on the boat or off the boat. He says here, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. These were once students of his, close followers, that decided after these offensive things that Christ was telling them, which were all true, after he said these things, they didn't want to walk with him anymore.
Right.
So, do you see how the walkway, the pathway of discipleship, it's a difficult thing. It sometimes can be offensive. But are you and I willing to endure the hardships, take note of those things that offend us, and either learn from them and grow by them? Or are we willing to say that when I am offended, I'm just going to leave and depart? So we've got to ask ourselves a question. Are we willing to hold fast? Are we willing to hold fast? Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Now he's talking to the apostles now, the closest of them. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You know, if you live by that, you won't have any trouble walking this pathway that is straight and narrow. If you understand that the only place you're going to get the words of eternal life is with walking with Christ, you won't have any problem sticking to the path.
Amen.
You'll be willing to endure the trials. You'll be willing to endure the hardships, and you'll be also willing to endure the sacrifices that need to be made. Because I believe that the part of the life of the disciple is characterized with sacrifice. We must not forget that.
Amen.
There are some things we've got to give up if it is that we're going to follow Jesus. Too often we see, especially among this old Baptist, too often what we see are people who are unwilling to part with some things of this world, and thus they miss out on the blessings of walking in sweet fellowship with Christ. Sometimes I think they think they're walking in fellowship, but I don't know how a double-minded man who's unstable in all of his ways can actually have both.
Right.
You will either hold to one or despise the other, right? You'll either love one or push away the other, as the scriptures tell us. There, Christ says you cannot serve God and mammon. It cannot be done. This rule cannot be broken.
Amen.
That's a law.
That's right.
It's like gravity, my friend. We cannot do it both. You cannot break this law. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to be willing to sacrifice? Are we going to be willing to do what it takes to walk with Him? Enter ye in at the straight gate. He says, do it. Not so that you can earn eternal life, but rather so that you may walk in sweet discipleship and fellowship with me. Enter ye in at that straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He says, many there go in that way. It's a popular way, isn't it?
That's right.
But I've often thought about how popularity is kind of relative, isn't it? Here are just a few of us, but I think what we have found to be most popular among us, who's most famous among us here? That's Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
So if it is that we're talking about popularity, well, we've got our own popular, famous one, and His name is Jesus Christ, and we can make Him the most popular among the few, and I'm fine with that.
Yes, sir.
We can encourage each other along the way. I want to publish His name. I want to make Him the star of the show, so to speak. Not that it's a show. You understand what I'm saying. What Nashville has, what Hollywood has, they can have it. Well, what I want, give me Jesus, right? This is what we ought to be searching for. This is what we ought to be asking for. What we ought to be knocking for. Okay. Many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate. That is, it's restricting, it's hard. Straight is that gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm thankful to know that if this were talking, or rather, I'm thankful to know this is talking about discipleship, because if it were that this were talking about those entering into heaven, eternal life, then this would apparently seem to contradict other parts of Scripture.
That's right.
Such as that, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among few brethren?
No, many.
Many brethren. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren, so that He might bring many sons to glory.
Right.
The Bible talks about the number that's going to be in heaven that are many people. But here this says, few there be that find it. So which is it? Are there going to be a few in heaven, or are there going to be many in heaven? Well, I believe the other scriptures pretty well prove that He's talking about bringing many sons into glory.
Right.
So this scripture must be talking about something other than earning eternal life, because all I see here is a work that you and I must complete in order to have this type of life. So what this life must be is that life of discipleship, a life of fellowship and discipleship with Jesus Christ. He says there, few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Oh, but for the precious few, my friends, let's not keep it to ourselves.
Amen.
Just because the Bible says there may be few that find it, that doesn't mean we can't show it to many people.
Amen.
Let's go and show it to other people, not for our sakes, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we ought to be about doing. I was talking with Brother Chastain about how we as people of God, especially as the Primitive Baptists particularly, we need to be doing our job and helping others to know where to find the blessed gospel of peace. We do. And so oftentimes what we think is just a little invite here, a little invite there, maybe. And I think that's good. We do need to be inviting people. And I find how the Lord also blesses sometimes in ways that we don't really expect Him to bless. There have been people that I have invited many, many times, and those same people, whether it's the same person, rather, or whether it be just a multitude of people, whoever it may be, I had the habit of whenever I was pumping gas across from somebody else, I would maybe let them know where the church was that I found good food at, where it would be the Primitive Baptist Church. I'd let them know where to come find that good food, because I believe that we are all beggars searching for food. We as beggars of Christ also need to understand that there are other people looking to find good food, and we need to show them where to find it, because we found it ourselves, haven't we? All right, so that's part of the work of evangelism. But, listen, what we also need to be doing in that effort is also showing people that we care about them. There's a good method of doing business with somebody. I think there was a book written about it called Jab, Jab, Hook, which was you give them, and then you bring them on in, right? You invite them. You give to them something. You give to them something again, and you give to them something again. Why? Because that shows them. Not only does it show them you care, but you actually, hopefully, do care about them.
Right.
But then, lastly, after about three times, just show them that you care enough to actually show them where something is that they can find for themselves.
Amen.
Show them you care, and then invite them to church. Show them that you care, and then welcome them into a place where you know good people are found, where the gospel is preached, and where they can be fed. So I've had many occasions where it is that I've invited people, and those people never came. That's okay. The road's difficult, and the Bible says there's going to be a few that find it. But for some of those people that I felt like, man, I thought they were going to come, the Lord has mysteriously, in some way or another, brought somebody else through the door.
Right.
And I've been thankful for those. Just seemingly out of the blue, off the street. Or maybe an email will be sent to me of some random person in Lexington or wherever. The Lord has a way of seeing your efforts and maybe not blessing that particular effort, but blessing an effort in another way.
Amen.
Or showing something up, causing something to show up and appear in another way. The Lord has a way of blessing to our surprise. He's very good and faithful about that. So let's be a faithful people toward Him. He has been a God to us that has never, ever forsaken you or me. Let's not give up on Him now. Come on. Let's never forsake Him. Let's be a faithful people. Let's be diligent. Let's be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable in our faith, which the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you and to me, that we might be a people showing forth the works of our Lord, letting our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
It's been a privilege to be with y'all today. I very much appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, brother.